Lynn Fraser is going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. And this morning I have the pleasure of spending time with a Decker. And it happens to be Ryan Decker. Welcome, Ryan. I'm so glad you're here with us today.
Thank you.
So, Ryan, tell us a little bit about you and what you do and introduce yourself to this fine group of people.
So I grew up in Ottawa, and I'm a real estate agent and a real estate investor here in Ottawa.
Yes, you are. When we hear about the Decker team on the Inside Track on the show coming up after this one.
Mm-hmm. And I also am a dad and have a second one on the way.
I know.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
And a wonderful wife, Amber.
Yes.
We've been longtime friends, I don't know, for quite a number of years. We've worked together and had some fun together. So I am thrilled to have you here with us today. And today what we're going to be talking about is a topic that's on the minds of many parents and a number of young adults at this time as they prepare to head off to university and college. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear from you this morning. The number here is 613-247-1886. We look forward to your questions and your comments. Perhaps you have a student that's going to be heading off to university this year and you have some questions for Ryan, because Ryan, you were able to graduate school with no debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. I just love that you were able to do it and you're now able to teach others. So tell us a little bit about how that happened for you, because we want the listeners to know some tips.
Well, the process for me started pretty young. When I was a kid, I needed to, when I made any money, 10% would go to the church, 10% was for fun spending, candy, games, whatever I wanted, and 80% went to my schooling.
Just with that very first start, is when you were young, anything you earned. Mm-hmm. So that suggests that you earned something.
That's right.
Because that's not necessarily a common thing, is
no.
That when we're young, we can work.
Yeah, I mean, even doing the garden, here's $5 for a couple hours of working in the garden. And it started that young, like at a very young age, the learning and the training from my parents.
So your parents prepared you for the future. They trained you up to be responsible and to learn to work and how to take care of the finances along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how old were you when you had your first job or your first business?
My first real job was, I was 13 and I bought my own lawnmower, little push, still have it today, love that thing, and it's rusted to all get out, but hey, it still works, little Honda, and I would go to lawns and I'd push it and I'd make, I think, $20 to $40 depending on the size of the lawn, and that's a fair bit when you're only 13, 14.
So you just went around your neighborhood and said, you know, I'm here and I want to mow your lawn?
Yeah. You know, at the beginning of the summer, you'd say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to be here all summer. Do you need your lawn mowed? And often, once you start a couple of clients, you get referrals to other people in the neighborhood.
Awesome. So at 13, you started your first. That didn't stop, because you said 80% of what you earned had to go to your education in
mm-hmm.
advance.
Or savings, yeah.
Or savings. Okay. And so by the time you got to college, you had done some other things to save more money, right?
Yeah, some lifeguarding and, you know, more lawns, certain things like that. And I think I blew through all that money in the first year. It was gone.
Okay.
It was gone. School's expensive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then you did something else. You went tree planting.
Right? I did. I had the experience of a lifetime. Me and a buddy decided we were going to go and get a job for the summer and just have a blast. And we went out to BC and planted trees at 10 cents a tree. And the first year we made okay money and enough to pay for my schooling that year.
In a summer?
In a summer.
You earned enough to pay for 1 year's education?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that was you said you wanted to go out and have a blast. I'm sure you did, but I also know you worked hard.
Oh, I worked hard. Yeah. I worked very, very hard. It was, I want to say back-breaking, except my back's not broken. However, it you know, sweating, you'd get hypothermia, heat stroke, you name it, we got it.
But you worked.
But we worked hard.
You had a goal, you had a plan, and away you went.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. And so There's some other tactics that you have employed, and this is one that really excites me, is that you had a means of taking care of your accommodations for free.
Yeah, so the next year I went out tree planting again, and I was much better, so I made a lot more money. And I had wanted to buy a home since I was a kid, which sounds weird. You know, most people want a car or whatever. My dream was a home.
Well, you probably had some role models in your life that suggested that was a good idea.
I sure did. And so I bought a home when I was 20, and I lived in the boiler room, little furnace room. I guess there was no boiler there. And
you might have made, did you make it look like a room?
No, I didn't.
You just put a bed in this room.
A bed and some furniture and a chair, couch, you know. It was pretty big. It just, yeah, no, it didn't look like a bedroom.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
And I had a basement apartment in the home, and I had four rooms upstairs all rented to students. And so it was cash flowing quite positive. So it paid for my accommodations and it paid for my food. And all I had to worry about was my tuition and books.
Wow. So, a lot of people don't know this, but there is a program that's available out there for parents to assist their children to buy a home.
Yeah.
And, right, rather than going and paying huge rent when they go off to university or college, that if the parents kind of partner with them or assist them, you can actually buy a home and make it make it cash flow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the kind of credit or the income history that the banks would allow me to get a mortgage, so I definitely needed my parents to co-sign and, you know, assist me through that.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I think it's great.
I think it's awesome. I think anyone starting out at 19 or 20, it's not a reflection on them that they don't have enough credit history.
No.
Financial institutions are looking for a proof that there's stability and a proof that there's a stability in income and credit history. So often the parents need to co-sign. So what are some of the things, Ryan, that the parents should be looking for to determine, should I do this with my kids?
Well, first they got to see if they can financially do it. So they come to you if they're in Ottawa or I guess someone else if it's not in Ontario. And they'd have the conversation, you know, can we keep our home and buy another home and do that financially? And hopefully the kid, you do want them to put in some of their own money. Otherwise, they won't have that ownership.
Sure. Sure. So you still want your children to work and to have some, save some money on their own. You still want them to work in the summer and that
sort of thing.
But I would think that their level of responsibility, their ability to manage this property is going to be a key piece too.
Absolutely. And I think it's a learning process too. I mean, you don't go into, you know, in your 20s knowing how to manage people and get rent and know the laws. And so it's a learning process.
But it's a great one.
Absolutely.
Right? I think of myself as a parent. Do I want to wait till my children are 27, 28, 29, married with kids that they're trying to figure out how to manage money? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to help role model it and walk with them when they're younger? And I think younger better, right? So if you're listening this morning, excuse me, we'd love to hear from you. If you have questions for Ryan on how to do this, or you have some comments about what you've done, our number here is 613-247-1886. Let us know what tips or tricks that you used to get through college or university with minimal or no debt. The email address is financialfitness@chri, and we would love to hear from you this morning. That's financialfitness@chri.ca. So we've got an email question, Ryan. It says, we're about to send our son to university. What tactics can you suggest to help minimizing living expenses?
Well, the first one is if they're in the area, you know, staying at your parents' house is the cheapest thing you can ever do for, you know, somewhere to live. And I know a lot of young people move away or they want to go to a different university in a different city. So, you know, that's a different story. One of the other ways to minimize is to find a couple buddies and go rent a house. Because if you're renting by the room or if you're renting at the college, the dorms,
yes,
it's much more expensive.
Sure.
And for the first year, a lot of people choose the dorms because there's a little more stability there and, you know.
Build community, get comfortable with
exactly.
Spring, yes.
And find those friends. That is an expensive way. I'm not saying you can't do that. Just if you want to minimize, that's not the way to go.
Okay. So we have a call in so with some questions this morning. So good morning, Gigi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm excellent. And by the way, Ryan, your story is just absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
Lynn, I have a question. You said that there's a program for parents to assist their children with buying a home.
Okay. And
but
so...
I'm sorry?
Keep going.
But you never said what program it was.
So I'm talking from a mortgage perspective. There is a second home program that's available. So parents, if they qualify, often parents will have some equity in their home that's built up over the years. They can either use the equity that's in their home to put a down payment on a second home, but you're allowed to own two homes without it being considered a rental. So... So the students can live in this other home, and it builds equity. It continues to be an investment, and if the students can manage the property, just like Ryan did, you can put in, you can make it an income source. So that's what I was referring to. Does that answer your question?
It does, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, if you have any more questions about that, you can reach us at the office after the show at 613-520-4157 or find us at morethanenough.ca on the website, and we'll be happy to answer any more questions you might have.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
You too. Have a great day. Bye, Gigi.
Bye.
Okay, so we have another email question. Thank you for that question, Gigi, to start it off. The phone number here again is 613-247-1886. The next question we have is, how can we help our child understanding that we have very bad credit right now?
That's a good question, Lynn. It's an honest question.
Yes.
And the reality is, be honest with them. You know, just let them know what's going on. And you're their mentor. You're going to be the one who teaches them how to handle finances. And you've been doing that since the day they were born. And so
good, bad, or ugly. Yeah.
So this is the time where, you know, if you know your credit's bad, talk to them why it's bad. Teach them how to not do that. And just be really frank with them. And the reality is school is not your responsibility. I know a lot of parents think, I got to send my kid to school. When your kid, in my opinion, becomes 18, they're now an adult. This is their responsibility. It's their time to grow up. And it doesn't mean they don't need your help, but they don't need to pass the blame to you. It's now their job to man or woman up and move forward.
I like that, Ryan. I really do. And I think we live in a culture that tells us we must do everything for our kids. Mm-hmm. And it really does create young adults that aren't empowered to live life fully. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do for our kids is empower them to live life fully. I love your answer about being transparent about the mistakes that you made, because your children can learn from your mistakes. They can learn from your strengths and they can learn from your past, but they can learn from your mistakes too if you're transparent with them.
Yeah. But I mean, my dad has always said, you know, he went to school to the School of Hard Knocks. And he really did. He's made a lot of big financial mistakes, and he's very wealthy today because he's learned from them. And so no matter where you're at, just keep learning, keep growing, and learn from the mistakes you've made.
Our phone number here is 613-247-1886. If you have questions for Ryan on how he did it, I love the fact, Ryan, because you've earned the right to have this conversation. You've done it, and now you're able to teach others how to graduate debt-free. And not only did you graduate debt-free, Ryan, you graduated with equity. You had assets. So you were ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
It is cool and fun.
And still growing. So what do you think, the most important piece for you was in terms of being prepared to manage a property?
Commitment. I don't think in our culture we put enough emphasis on commitment, because if I had got this home and decided, hey, it's not going to work, it wouldn't have worked. Or if I sold it after a year, I would have lost money. So the commitment of I'm in this for the long haul, and there was lots of nights where I had to pray, and because this experience was amazing, and there was tough times. You know, there's times where at 1 a.m. I was lying in my bed saying, do I really want to do this? Do I really want this house? And God, you know, can I sell this home? And every time the response came, no, not yet. And really cool stuff happened there. Yeah.
So you got to be a mentor to a lot of young people that came into the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
I know that you were a witness, and you had testified to these young people and helped them in their journey. So it was amazing.
Yeah.
So we have some other email questions, Ryan.
All right.
So this is a great question. Did managing the rental property become a distraction from your studies? And what would you have done if you didn't rent all the rooms to all the people to cover the mortgage payment?
Ooh. Ah.
So there's two questions in one.
Those are two questions. So the first one, did it take away from my studies? No, it really didn't. I mean, a part-time job often makes you do better in school because you're really focused on making your time count. Whereas if you have too much time as a student, you often play a lot of games or, you know, go out a lot. So it focuses you a little bit, especially as a young adult. I think it's really good to have a part-time or a management.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because that's often a concern as to whether... It's often a concern about working while you're in school, and I agree with you.
And there's certain students, like I have a friend who's a doctor, and she was also a tree planter, and so she made her money in the summers, and she was a 99.8% average student, like crazy. Could she have done this? Probably not, because she was so focused and so diligent with what she was already doing. And so that's a different level of student. I wasn't that into my studies. I wasn't that percentage. Yeah.
So you were being educated on more than one front as
yes,
you were going through this.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think that's key too, is school is to make us prepared for the future so we can earn more money. And part of that is communication skills. Part of that is management of other people and learning how to communicate. And you get all that through a part-time job or through managing a property. And so it makes you more employable.
That's true. That's probably one of the greatest assets that we can have is our communication skills.
Hmm.
And we've got to get them somewhere. So good work. So the second part of that question was, what would happen if you had empty rooms and you didn't have enough money to pay your mortgage?
So it happened once in a summer where I had a vacancy, because during the winter, it's really easy to rent rooms as soon as September hits, yeah. Especially if you're in the right area. And we had pre-rented all the rooms before I even got possession of the home. So
that's a tactic that you employ all the time with investors, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so there's strategies to use. And when a room is empty, if you drop it 50, maybe even 100 bucks lower than market rent, it's going to get rented instantaneously. So there's strategies you can use to make sure that you don't have a long-term vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
It really hasn't been a struggle.
Awesome. So it didn't keep you up at night worrying about how you were going to pay your mortgage?
No.
That wasn't an issue. You just knew you could. You probably had a cushion as well, if I know you well.
You create a cushion. That's correct. So if there is a couple months, it's not going to burn you.
Awesome. So... the phone number here is 613-247-1886 if you have a question or comment for Ryan. And if your students are heading off to university and you've employed some tactics to help them stay out of debt, we'd love to hear from you this morning. We have another question, another email question. Is any suggestions on how to reduce food expenses? Yeah, eat at mom and dad.
That's huge. On weekends, I'd go home and get my fill. When I was in school, I ate a lot of meat. And people often say, how did you eat meat? Meat's too expensive. I would go to the Loblaws every Tuesday and Thursday, and they would have 50% off food. And because it was, that's when,
Tuesdays,
you know,
and Thursdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, it was going to expire in 2 or 3 days. And so they reduced it 50%. So I'd go in and I'd buy like 20 chickens and, you know, all the meat I needed for a couple of weeks. I'd freeze it and then I'd cook it in bulk and have lunches. And so I ate very well in school. And that was one of the ways I saved, is reduced food. And as long as you cook it right away, there's no harm.
That's great.
And don't eat out.
You know, that's the biggest thing, right? I remember speaking with one young lady who had graduated. She had her master's degree. She put herself through school. She didn't have any help from family, and she graduated without debt. And one of the things, one of the tricks or tips that she had was, don't buy a car and don't eat pizza.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. Just mm-hmm. do what you need to do. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, Ryan, you're... Like, that foundation has set you up for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Whereas many young people are graduating with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in student debt. And you get a couple. Now you've got $100,000 in debt. They're way behind the eight ball when they're starting out in life. But you have a solid foundation. It's huge. It's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And all it took was some work, some effort, and some commitment.
And strategy. You know, this, you don't just go and... You know, try your best. You say, okay, well, what are some ways I can save on food, and employ those?
So it takes some planning, some preparation.
Yeah. And some trial and error.
You didn't get it all perfectly
no,
right.
No, there's lots I messed out on, and it's okay.
You probably made a few mistakes along the way.
Absolutely.
What would you say, Ryan, if you will?
Yeah.
If you will. What was the biggest mistake you made, do you think, along the way?
If I go pre-college, it would be that I didn't grow my lawn mowing business big enough, because that could have set me up really, really, really well if I had focused more on that. However, I was a kid and I wanted to have fun, so I had lots of fun. And then in college, I would say I could have done more work, meaning I could have gotten a part-time job with what I had on my plate. School, I made it so I was only doing 3 days a week, so I had a four-day weekend, and I could have done a little more during the school year.
Well, that's okay. What you've done, you've done well. So we have a call. Good morning, Braden. How are you this morning?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. So how can we help you this morning?
My question's for Ryan. It's unrelated to the university kind of topic you had on there, but I thought I could really use his wisdom and advice.
Sure.
On something else. My question for you, Ryan, is what advice could you give me? I'm about to become a young dad for the first time.
Awesome.
And yeah, thank you.
We're
having a baby boy. I'm so excited. But anyways, I didn't grow up in a very good financial situation, and my parents were not good with money.
Okay.
And I just don't want to repeat the same mistakes. I just wonder if you had a couple pointers for me on that subject.
So my first one is, your kid, your boy, he's going to learn everything from you.
Yeah.
How to be a man, how to handle finances. Even if you don't teach him, he'll see it.
Right.
And so you got to start with you.
Yeah.
Learn, read, what are some good books?
The Wealth Formula.
The Wealth Formula.
By Ken Decker.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good start. The Wealthy Barber, that's another
I've
easy
read that, actually. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, financial good. Piece.
We do workshops on financial fitness workshop. We do the wealth building workshop. So there's some places that you can come.
Yeah, and I think the one I would start with is twofold for your son, and that is, don't give him an allowance. Don't start with that. Start with, if he does a chore, like cleaning his room, or he gets, you know, 10 cents or inflate it, maybe a dollar a chore. And, you know, that'll teach him that when you work, you get money.
Right.
And that's the base. And then you teach him, okay, you've got jars. This jar is for tithing. This jar is for saving. This jar is for spending. And I think that basic of a system will really set them up on how to handle their finances.
Oh, huh, that's great.
There's nothing wrong with you doing the same thing, Braden.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
jar system is something that a lot of people have employed, but we certainly do invite you to come to a financial fitness workshop and the wealth building workshop. There, it's a complimentary workshop. There's no charge, and they're done once a month, and you'll find other resources there. But there's lots of resources to help you through this process.
Is there like a website or something?
Yes, you can come to morethanenough.ca.
Oh, okay.
Great. And all the events are listed there, so we'd be happy to have you come.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for
calling. Enjoy your boy.
Thank you. I will.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
How exciting. Uh-huh. You can just hear the excitement in that dad's voice, huh?
Yeah, sleepless nights are coming.
Yeah, you know. We probably don't have any more time for call-in questions, but we do have one more email question that we can answer. So should we be investing in RESPs, and are there better vehicles to be using?
I like RESPs. The government, it's a very good plan, and my dad used it for me and was able to help me with some of my stuff as well, and then whatever he didn't use, he got to go blow on a boat.
That's okay. It's savings.
That's good.
Savings and investing, being prepared for the future. So it was really a benefit to your dad that you were able to take care of yourself, Ryan.
Yeah, it was.
That's good. Wow. Well, I have so enjoyed my time with you again. Thank you so much for coming. You're a great inspiration to the people that are listening. And I just love your heart to help other people in this vein, to be able to lay a foundation for their future. And I know that you do that all the time, and I just love the role model that you are.
Thanks
for coming. So as the tradition is, I want to close in prayer.
Awesome.
So Father, we just thank you for all you've done and all that you've brought this morning. Lord, I know there's people listening that need your help and that are seeking your help. And so Lord, would you open their ears and their eyes and their hearts, and would you give them the courage to take the steps that they need to become free, to live the life that you've called them to walk in truth, to walk in hope, and know that you are the provider. There is a way, there is an answer, and that you will bring it to them when they take the first step. So give them the courage to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have questions about your finances and how to prepare for your future, we'd love to help you. The phone number is 613-520-4157. Go to the website morethanenough.ca, and you're going to find all the resources and all the events that we've got coming up. And we're looking forward to spending time with you. And next week, we'll be back again, and look forward to spending time, spending time hanging out, listening to you, hearing from you. And so we want you to have a great day, filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.